Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John and John in chapter number 15. The Gospel record of John and chapter number 15. We're traveling with the Lord Jesus Christ as he's working with his disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ is now hours away from going to the cross of Calvary. In a couple of hours, he's going to be arrested, put on a legal trial. He is going to be found guilty. He is going to be scourged. He's going to be beat. He's going to be humiliated. He's going to be mocked. And then he is going to be put to death. During this time, Jesus knows that this is going to be difficult and hard for his disciples. And so he takes some time. He gets away from the masses, gets away from the Pharisees, away from the critics. And he's just here with his 11 disciples, trying to encourage them, trying to teach them, and trying to give them the resiliency traits that they need to move forward when these tragedies happen. When the worst thing imaginable occurs, he wants them to keep moving forward. And chapter number 13 and chapter number 14, the Lord Jesus Christ is in the upper room with the disciples. They finish the Last Supper. He teaches them some principles. He's starting to try to encourage them to keep trusting the Lord. He's answered some questions. And now they are beginning their trek from Jerusalem down the Valley of Kidron and up to the Mount of Olives to where the Garden of Gethsemane is. He's walking with his disciples and he's trying to give them some last minute teaching, some last minute encouragement. And in the Gospel record of John chapter 15, he goes now to a major teaching with his disciples, something they're going to need so they can continue to advance forward. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in the Gospel record of John chapter 15. And notice with me in verse number 1. The Gospel record of John chapter 15 and verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and is cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So then ye shall be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. And if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you shall go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, will you mark a phrase that we find inside of the gospel record of John chapter number 15. The gospel record of John chapter 15, and notice with me in verse number 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And with this, we're going to hit what is commonly called the vine and the branches, the powerful teaching of abiding in Christ and what Jesus is trying to get a hold of his disciples here, dealing with this idea, this picture of the vine and the branches. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. I'm asking, Lord, that you would just help us now as we open up your scriptures, that you would give us understanding, you'd give us wisdom, that you would help us to understand this great principle of abiding in you. And will you ask us that you would just help us, Lord, that we can bear fruit. Guide and direct even now with your Holy Spirit, that you would draw people close, that you would help them to understand this great open secret of fruitfulness found in your word. Fill me with your spirit, that you get your own work accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples, oftentimes the Bible uses pictures that people could understand, that they could look at something and they would have a great understanding. They could grasp it. In this, Jesus Christ is teaching the principle of the vine and the branches. Now, a different terminology, but if you could imagine a tree trunk, that would be what they would consider the vine, this idea of the main source of the plant, the main trunk of the plant. And then, of course, the branches would be the branches that would come out of it. Now, if you studied or know anything about plants, that you know that trunk is going to be the main source, that you're going to be able to carry water and minerals up. And then the sunlight will come, of course, through the plant and go down, where it will continue to change it into to materials and then bring it back up, that it became the life source. We also would know the idea that if you had a trunk of a tree and you took off a branch, it's going to die. That the only way that it stays healthy, the only way that it stays fruitful, is to be plugged into the tree. And that any fruit-bearing tree has one purpose, to bear fruit. Well, we could understand that. It's not just for decoration, it's to bear fruit. And all throughout this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ makes a big emphasis over and over that he says that you may bear fruit, much fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Over and over, you see this idea that his fruit will remain. That the Lord Jesus Christ wants us, desires us, and has created us to bear fruit. We need to be fruit-bearing Christians. We need to be what God has designed us to be. And God does a work in our life so we can bear fruit. And as he's taking time with the disciples, they would be able to understand the principle of a plant and then the stems that come from a plant, and that how this relationship works. Jesus Christ is going to describe the relationship that he is the vine and they are the branches, and that they are going to work together with him being the energy, being the source, him giving the fuel, and that they have the responsibility of having the fruit-bearing limbs, the fruit-bearing trunks, because they're plugged into him. Now, with that being said, let's go and explore this teaching that Jesus Christ has for. The first thing that we see is this abiding in Christ. This abiding in Christ. Notice with me in verse number 1. I am, so once again, we're going to have this I am statement. Remember, this I am statement is very important. This is Jesus Christ declaring himself to be God, that he is the great I am. He's already said, I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. And now we have another I am statement. I am the true vine. And ye and my Father is the husbandman, carrying the idea that Jesus is what we're plugged into, and it is God's job to trim, to work, to make the plant grow. Verse number 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, this is just a principle of logic. If the goal of a fruit-bearing tree is to bear fruit, then if you have a branch that is not bearing fruit, it may look good, it may look strong, it may look leafy, it may look green. But if it is not bearing fruit, then it is not accomplishing its purpose. It's wasting space, it's wasting resources, it's not doing what it's intended to do. God desires for us to be fruit-bearing Christians. And if we're not fruit-bearing Christians, there is something wrong. There's a law in science called the law of biogenesis. You're like, well, that's a big word. Yeah, the law of biogenesis basically states everything reproduces after its kind. May I modify that a little bit? Every healthy organism reproduces itself. Every healthy organism reproduces itself. Therefore, if something is not reproducing itself, it is not healthy. God wants us to be healthy Christians. That's what He designed us to be. Notice as it goes on, verse number 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He, that's God the Father, taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, we know that inside of a fruit-bearing tree, you may have extra stems, extra things that are going on, and those may look good, but they may hinder more fruit being grown. For example, if you have an apple tree, the goal is to grow as many apples as possible. Amen. So if there's something hindering the apples growing, you prune it. By the way, pruning is very healthy inside of plants. That's what you have to do to keep the plant healthy. If there is a growth, if there's extra stuff that's in the way, you would prune it, you would trim it. And that is part of keeping it a healthy a plant. Well, God does the same thing with us. Because every once in a while, or maybe every lots in a while, there are unhealthy things in us that keeps us from bearing fruit. And because God desires us to bear fruit, He will purge them. He will trim it. He will get rid of some things out of our life, not because He's trying to hurt us, but because He wants us to bear more fruit. That means there are things in your life that God takes away. Things that may not be wrong, things that may not be sinful, things that may not necessarily be morally wrong, but He takes them out of your life anyways for the purpose that you bear much fruit. For example, you may have a hobby. Is there anything wrong with a hobby? No, there's lots of good things about being a hobby. But it could be that that hobby keeps you from bearing fruit. So God may do something in your life to take that hobby away. Maybe take away time, maybe change your desires, maybe do something else. But He does that, removing something out of your life, not because He wants you to have less fun in your life, not because He wants you to have just a stoic existence where you just live in a cement room and that you have nothing joyful in your life. No, He knows that there are some things to take out of your life, even though they may not be wrong, they may be good, but He wants you to have the best. Remember that the good is often the enemy of the best. The best is God wants you to bear much fruit. So therefore, there may be some pruning work in your life. There may be some things that He removes out of your life. He adjusts out of your life just because He wants you to bear much fruit. It is a good act that God is doing when He removes some of these things out of our life. Verse number 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken you. How are we clean, by the way? How do we change our life? By the word of God. It is the word of God that works within us and starts changing us from the inside out. There is a plant that is a tree that is the last tree to lose its leaves. It doesn't lose its leaves during the fall. It loses its leaves during the spring. And what happens is that the new growth pushes out the old growth. Well, this is much like the Christian life, that God pushes things out of our life and replaces them with something different, with something new. This is what God does in our life quite often, is push those things out. What he does is he changes our desires. It may have been that when you were young, you had a favorite hobby and you can't imagine life without that hobby. But then somewhere along the way, as you start falling in love with the Bible, you start paying more attention in church, you start being obedient, God changes those desires. Was there anything wrong? No. He is just pushing things out and giving you a replacement desire, something that is much better for you. That is part of that work that God does as he is pruning. And as we spend more time in his Bible, the more fruit that we'll bear as we're obedient to it, as we learn, as we hide it. It is the nutrients we need, and it washes and it prunes things out of our life. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. We come to this first appearance of abide in this passage, and it's a good time to define it. The word abide carries with it a dwelling place. It's where I dwell. So if I abide at my house, that's where I live. It's where I dwell. Well, Jesus says that if you abide in me, that means we dwell in Christ. We make Jesus our home. Well, that's an important thing, to make Jesus our home, that he becomes our substance, he becomes our sufficiency, he becomes our power, he becomes our nutrients, he becomes our all in all, that we get plugged into Christ and dwell and live in him, that he gives us life-giving nutrients so we can bear much fruit. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. So here's this principle. You have the tree trunk, and the branch is abiding in the trunk. And it gets its nutrients, it gets its power, it gets its strength, it gets its substance, it gets its standing. You take that branch and cut it off, it doesn't stand by its own. It falls to the ground and just lays there. You take the branch off, it dies, it withers. The only time that branch is alive, it's when it's correctly plugged into the branch and has a correct flow of nutrients going through it. That's what God wants us to do, is abide in him that same way, to be plugged into Christ. That means it's not a passive thing. It's not just something I get every now and again. Most of you have learned that you have to eat more than once a week. You need it in order to grow up to be a big and strong. Same thing with Christ. You need to constantly be getting your nutrients from him. It can't be every once in a while. You'll never be healthy if you don't get proper nutrients except for every once in a while. You may be withering and just barely alive, but that's not the existence that God desires for us. Notice in verse number 5, I am the vine. Once again, we have this I am statement. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. We'll pause right there. You see what it says there? It says that if we abide in him, and he abides in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's a promise. If you're not bearing fruit, it's because you're not abiding in Christ. If you abide in Christ, you will be bearing fruit. Notice with me as it goes on. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, some of you have taken classes with me where I've made emphasis on that. If you have not underlined, starred, highlighted that last part of verse number 5, do that now. Because this is a true statement. We don't like it being true. But it says, without me, you can do nothing. We like to think that without him, we could do something. We have in mind that we can do something on our own without Christ. We cannot. We cannot do God's work. We cannot live the Christian life. I cannot be the father I ought to be. I cannot be the husband I ought to be without being plugged into Christ. Without him, I can do nothing. Isn't it amazing how many times we keep trying to live without him and seeing how well we do without it? And we keep trying because we don't believe this verse is true. Without me, ye can do nothing. If we believe that was true, we would be plugged into him all the time and said, I'm not leaving. Because without him, I can do nothing. Nothing means nothing. Once we realize that verse is true and we hang on to it, it changes how we approach this. I can do nothing. I must have Christ. I need Jesus. For without him, I can do nothing. I must have him. Service, effort, and energy mean nothing apart from his life without him. We must abide in him. What is this abiding life? It's a life of surrender, faith, and fellowship. It's one that glorifies God and is plugged into him. No branch can live on its own without it. You could cut off a branch and say, here you go, you survive on your own, and it will not. It cannot survive. Without him, you can do nothing. Which brings us to a second thing, the fruitfulness in Christ. So we started with abiding in Christ, then we see the fruitfulness in Christ. With this, there's a lot of things here. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. What do you do with a branch that is cast out? You burn it, right? If you go camping, I don't even know if people go camping anymore. That was one of the things. We'd go camping. Dad would say, hey, go get some branches. Well, he didn't want us to go pull branches off of a tree. He was expecting us to find the stuff that's laying down because that's what it was good for, burning. And you'd set it, you get kindling, you get the branches, you get the stuff that's off a tree. You don't burn what you just recently cut down. You have to wait till it's withered and dead. Well, that's what it's good for, is for burning. That's it. You do not get apple trees from a pile of wood you've stacked up a year ago. It doesn't work. It's not abiding. It's no longer alive. All it's good for is for kindling, for burning. Notice there's lots of things here as Jesus desires for us to bear fruit. Notice verse number 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Notice this. Jesus Christ is now putting his person with his word. How do I know if I'm abiding in Christ? Are you abiding in his word? Notice, this abiding in his word means living. We talked about abiding, dwelling. Are you living in the word of God, or do you just visit it through the window and just check and see if it's alive? There's one thing about being in the outside looking in and actually abiding in it, living in the word, making it a part of you. Remember, the greatest thing you could do on a daily basis is to be in the word of God. Quite simply, if you are not in the word of God, you are not abiding in Christ. Jesus put that distinction. You're withering and dying if you're not in God's word every day. Since we're here, the old adage of read a chapter a day keeps the devil away, that's false. If all you're doing is reading one chapter of the Bible a day, you are a very poor Christian. You are not abiding in Christ. Unless you are getting some very powerful stuff. I mean, you're at the super Christian stage where you could read just one chapter and you're just squeezing everything out and you're super obedient. Probably not. We need to be plenty of water. If you're out there, I know Wisconsin doesn't have a problem with this, but in the desert and in Phoenix, water was very important. Anything will grow if you add enough water. You just have to add enough water. So if you're out in the middle of the desert, you know, for those of you who are not familiar with Phoenix, because, you know, right now we're saying, oh, we had a nice summer day yesterday, sunburn, 86 degrees, and today's 50. just because it's Wisconsin. But in Phoenix, you have 100 days of 100 degrees and more. Some of you want to go there, right? I love the desert. It was good stuff. 100 days with over 100 degrees or more. So if you're going to grow something outside, again, anything will grow in Phoenix if you add enough water. If I'm out in the desert and it's 100 degrees for over 100 days, I don't sprinkle some water on my plants and say that's enough. If they're going to grow, I have to put plenty of water. If you are going to grow, you need plenty of water. Jesus has already said you are washed by the Word. What's the water? The Word. Some of you haven't been watering your plant that often. You sprinkle some water, kind of, and you're not growing. You're not bearing fruit because you don't get enough water. You need to make sure you're getting enough water. If you're going to abide in Christ, it starts with God's Word. If you're not in God's Word, you are not plugged into Christ. Period. End of sentence. You're like, you're being mean. I'm trying to be helpful. The greatest thing you could do on a daily basis is to be in God's Word every day. You have to be plugged into Christ and not just saying, I read a couple of verses or I read a chapter, but you need to get plenty of water. In fact, if you say, well, I'm kind of dry, I'm not growing well, you know, the first recommendation, read more Bible. Read more Bible. Read until you get something. Read until you go, wow. Remember the Bible says in Psalm 119, it said, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. How much should I read, preacher? Until you go, wow. You should go, wow, every time you read your Bible, because it's wonderful. It should be stuff that amazes you, things that you look and go, wow, that's amazing. Oh, I'm so thankful. Even if it's familiar, praise the Lord that God still forgives sin. Oh, that should still amaze you. If it doesn't, then you probably don't realize how bad of a sinner you are. That God loves me? That's pretty amazing that God would love even me. I'm hard to love. Ask my wife. But God loves me. That's pretty amazing. There should be plenty of things where we go, wow. When God showed grace to someone, when that person clearly deserved lightning, and you read it and God didn't kill him, that should be pretty amazing. There should be plenty of things that make us go, wow. We should be amazed by our Bible reading all the time. If your Bible reading is dry, you're probably not getting in the pool. Are you getting wet? Good. I'll forget the analogies. I got plenty of scripture. I got to go. So, notice as it continues on. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then notice this. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. Notice now, not only is it connected to our Bible reading with fruitfulness, our Bible reading is connected with our answers to prayer. If we are going to bear fruit, if we're abiding in Him, then because He's putting His Word in us, we are going to be able to ask things according to His Word and see them answered. We should be seeing answers to prayer all the time. If you are not seeing answers to prayer all the time, then probably you're not abiding in Christ. It could be that your Bible reading's dry. Listen, Christians should be having answers to prayer all the time. If I ask you, what was your last answer to prayer, and you have to think about a couple months ago, then there's something probably wrong. Should be answers to prayer all the time. I mean, it doesn't have to be big, major, earth-shattering things, but it could be small things. Amen. My wife goes to Walmart, and she prays for a parking spot close to Walmart, which is a miracle in itself. She always does that. Me, I'd rather park out in the boonies. But, you know, but she likes to be up close, all right? She prays, and she always gets a parking spot up there. Some people have been with my wife. My wife prays for sales, and it just so happens right when she goes shopping is when the sales. What happened? She prays, and it's just a commonplace now answers prayer all the time. That's part of the abiding in Christ. That you're abiding in Christ, and because you're letting the Word abide in you and you're abiding in that, that you have an openness, a communication to be able to say, hey, I need this, and God says, here you go. That should be a commonplace. Notice as it continues to go on, it says in verse number 8, it says, and herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. How is God glorified? By us bearing fruit. Why? Because it shows we're plugged into Him. Because without Him, we could do nothing. So if we're bearing fruit, it is because He is the one that made us bear fruit. It is not human effort. Sometimes we really put an emphasis on how much we can get done. Look at how strong I am. Look at how amazing I am. Well, we do that. It's not our fruit. It's not us. We can do nothing. Amen. God is glorified when we bear fruit because we look and said, I can't do that. It was God that did that. It was God that produced it. God that set this up. He got the glory from it. Then notice in verse number 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now he's going to talk about disciples and friends here in just a bit, but the idea of being a disciple is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. A disciple is someone who's plugged into Christ. We've chosen to follow after Him. We've chosen to abide in Him. We're chosen to plug in Him. We're chosen to allow Him to be our sufficiency because we're plugged in. We're followers of Him. Notice as it goes on, verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, isn't that a powerful statement? As the Father hath loved me. We see this statement all throughout the gospel record of John. Sometimes we forget about this relationship, but God loved the Son. And that same love that He had towards the Son, He loves us. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Meaning continue to abide, continue to thrive, continue to get plugged into that love. He loves me and He wants it to continue to flow. Notice as it goes on in verse number 10. If ye keep my commandments, notice we have this if statement again. How do we know we're abiding in Christ? We're obedient to what God's given us to do. Once again, it ties back to His Word. Is the Word abiding in us? How do we know it's abiding to us? We're obeying what He's given to us. It's just not, we read it and close our Bible and say, that's it for today. But we read it, we allow it to cleanse us, and we obey it. And because of that, we bear much fruit. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Notice again, we talked about it this morning, here again. How do we abide in God's love? If you love me, keep my commandments. We cannot separate our love for Christ from our obedience to Christ. Those are the same. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Remember that Jesus Christ is the example. We know He is God, but He is also in the flesh, and He is our example. Jesus obeyed the Father and therefore abided in God's love. If we obey Christ that same way, we're abiding in His love. Because we love Him, we keep His commandments. Notice as it goes on now. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you. Why? That my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is some good stuff here. God says, let me tell you why I give you this. Why did I take time to explain this? Because I want you to enjoy the journey. Amen. I want you to be happy Christians. I want you to be happy believers. Why? Because you're plugged into me. You're getting well watered. You're getting the sufficiency. You're abiding in my love. And now your joy is full. There's something about abiding in Christ that brings us complete joy. Full joy. It doesn't matter how bad your circumstances are. It matters if you're plugged into Christ. Amen. Christ becomes my sufficiency. That my joy is not dependent on circumstances. It's dependent on God. If I'm plugged into Him, I can have a joyful life no matter how painful, no matter how perilous, no matter how many trials, no matter how many dark days. I can enjoy the journey because my joy is based off of Christ. We as Christians should be happy Christians, joyful Christians, peaceful Christians, hopeful Christians, if we're abiding in Christ. If we're not those things, it's probably because we're not abiding. There's something wrong with that flow. Notice as it goes on in verse 12, this is good stuff. This is my commandment, that ye love one another even as I have loved you. We know that there's a relationship here, that God wants us to love others the way that he loves us. Then it goes on in this, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Notice that there are three times the Lord Jesus Christ calls us friends. Verse number 13, verse number 14, and what verse number 15. If you want to understand what true friendship is all about, here's what Jesus Christ gave to us, that he has given his life for his friends. Notice, first of all, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. If you are going to have friends, there's going to be this idea that that there is going to be a sacrifice, a love. That if I'm friends with someone, I don't keep tabs. For example, if I'm friends with someone, I don't keep track of how many meals they paid for and how many meals I paid for. Yeah. It's no big deal. Hey, you know what? I have availability, I may pay for you. No big deal. We don't keep score. It's not the idea of trying to say who owes me what or whatever else. It's just, I'm friends. We don't keep score like that. Because I love you, I'm not worried about how much it costs. I have the ability, I just want to hang out with you. That's a wonderful thing. That's a good thing of friendship there, that we're not worried about that. Notice in verse number 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Another thing that friendship requires is trust. Is trust. Jesus Christ said, hey, can you go do this? And we said, yes. And he knows it's going to get done. Why? Because there's trust. Now remember, trust goes two ways. You cannot be friends with someone that you do not trust. That's a key element. We must be able to trust God, and God must be able to trust us. For us trusting God, we could say, oh, well, of course I could trust God. Just because you know you could trust God doesn't mean you trust God. Doesn't mean you actively trust him. Do you trust him? Do you believe he's going to keep his word? Do you believe he's going to carry you through? Do you believe he's going to be God? Do you trust him? And then can he trust you? That's a big deal. One of the amazing things in the gospel, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 18, is that God is saying, I'm going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I wonder if I could tell Abraham, I know Abraham, that he will instruct his children, instruct his household. I trust him. So Abraham, I'm going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, wait a second, God, you're righteous, you're good, forgive me, I'm a nobody. But what happens if you find 40 saved people? Will you destroy them? God says, I'll not destroy them for 40's sake. Okay, well, you know, forgive me. But what if you miss five? What if it's just 35? Will you destroy them? I won't destroy them for 35. Okay, well, you know, forgive me, Lord. I'm nobody. But what if you miss five of that? What if it's only 30? I won't destroy them for 30. And Abraham talked him down to 10. That's one of the greatest demonstrations of friendship. That Abraham was able to trust God, and God was able to trust Abraham. This friendship that they had to discuss this, to get in this. You're like, well, look at Abraham. He changed God's mind. He did not. God wanted to go down to 10. He was just talking with Abraham about it. Praise the Lord for that friendship that they had, that God says, I trust him. And then we could see that trust went the other way too. I trust him so much, I'll listen to Abraham. You know, God wants friends. It starts off with the idea, can he trust us? It goes to the idea that we're not keeping score, that there's just a fellowship between us. Notice in verse number 5, henceforth, I call you not my servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. All things that I've heard of my Father hath I made known to you. Here Jesus Christ continues with that if we are going to have friends here, it requires the idea of time. That if you're going to spend time with anyone, that's a requirement. Now, Jesus Christ says, I don't want you to be a servant. I want you to be my friend. There's a difference that if it's a servant, you don't need to know all the information. You just need to obey. Amen. God says, I don't want just that. I want to let you be involved. I want you to know what I'm doing because you're my friend. What a great relationship and fellowship God desires to have with us. That's better. Now, I understand we got to start somewhere, and so obeying as a servant, somewhere to start. But that's not where God wants us to end. He wants to say, I want to be friends with you, and let's discuss what I'm doing. Let's discuss what plans I have. There's a trust here. There's time sent here. There's a fellowship that we have together. God desires friends. That's the big thrust that we have here. What does it mean to abide in Christ? To be God's friend. So many of us fall short of being God's friend. One of the books that I'm writing eventually, it's my last magnum opus, is a book called How the Old Testament Saints Saw Christ. And the thesis of that book is this: that we as New Testament saints may know more about Christ doctrinally, whereas the Old Testament saints knew about Christ personally. You see, so many times we're satisfied with a book knowledge of Christ, where the Old Testament saints had an experiential knowledge of Christ. God wants us to abide in Him, to experience Him, to be His friend. There is a difference of knowing about someone. For example, I may know facts and figure about George Washington, but I do not know him by experience. We've never had a conversation. Just has never happened. Never got around to doing it. All right, there's a difference there. I may know things about him, but that is a different kind of knowledge. For example, I'm married. Praise the Lord for it. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I should not be satisfied with a book knowledge of my wife. All right, honey, what's your favorite color? Check. All right, what kind of flower you like? Check. Okay, good. What pizza do you like? Check. Okay, good. I know enough about you. I am good. I should have a desire to know her more than just information. I have a desire to be a friend with her, that there's a trust, that we spend time with each other, that there is a companionship, there's an abiding with that. That's what God desires for us. Again, one of our bad things is we try to get satisfied with just some informational knowledge. And God doesn't want us to be stuck there. He wants us to have an experiential knowledge. I know Him personally. Let me introduce you to Him. Let me show you my friend. Let's call up my friend and let's talk to him together. God desires friendship. God here is talking about that if we abide in Him, if we're friends with Him, we will bear much fruit. Why is it that some people are not bearing fruit? Because they're not God's friend. Amen. They don't have an intimate knowledge. But when you have this intimate knowledge, because I'm God's friend, that if I say, hey, friend, can you hook me up? I need this. He says, no problem. Amen. See how that works? Yeah. That because I'm abiding in Him, I bear much fruit. Because I'm abiding in Him, that He's able to answer prayers. Because we're abiding together, if He asks me to do something, I don't say, oh man, God, why do you want me to do that? That's not my response. Because if my friend asks me that and it's something reasonable, why wouldn't I? God desires friends. That's the secret of abiding in Christ, is to be satisfied with an experiential knowledge of Him. And as I'm plugged into Him, I bear much fruit. As I'm plugged into Him, I know Him more. As I'm plugged into Him, I have His power, what He can do, His ability. As I'm plugged into Him, that I see prayers answered. How do I get plugged into Him? Starts with a word. If you're not in the word, you're not even starting the process. But I get to know Him. I talk with Him. I spend time with Him. So many times we feel like we're in a hurry to get away from God. All right, quickly read the Bible. All right, got my 5 chapters in. Woo! I got it. 3 minutes. Woohoo! You may laugh, but I'm a speed reader. That's no problem to me. You know, I could speed read and check off that. Oh, I got it today. But I didn't spend any time with the Lord. Our prayer life. Lord, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the scrub. See you later. We didn't spend any time with Him. We're like trying to hurry up and get Him out of the way so I can get to the main course. We treat God like He's in the way sometimes. That's not being His friend. To abide in Him. To be His friend. To develop this close relationship. Notice again in verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Remember, it was Christ that searched us out. We didn't go looking for Him. He found us and brought us to Himself. He found us. Why? He desires friends. That means He desired you to be His friend. You're not like the loser kid who's looking in and saying, God, can you pick me? Jesus went out and said, you come and be with me. He found you. And wants you, He chose you to be His friend. He's not being your friend because He's sorry for you and just kind of like making you tag along like your little brother or your little sister when you were a kid and just had to be there. He wants you to be there. It's not an assignment to Him. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye shall go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit shall remain. Isn't that a blessing? God wants us to have a lasting legacy.
Amen.
Because we abide in Him, the influence that we have in others, the people that come to know Christ as our Savior, people that chose to follow after Christ because of the influence, because He's plugged into us, we're plugged into Him, that it's apparent and it changes lives around us. And He says, I want you to have fruit, but not just fruit, fruit that remaineth. Fruit that lasts. That even when you pass away, he that being dead yet speaketh. Praise the Lord for someone who has such a testimony that when they pass, people come back and say, man, that person changed my life.
Amen.
That person affected me. I'm closer to the Lord because of them. I made different choices in my life because of them. Praise the Lord. That's what God wants us to have, lives that are affected by others. Notice, and whatsoever ye ask of my Father in my name, that He may give it to you. Once again, we have this same thing again. If we're plugged into Him, that because He's our friend, He's glad to give us what we need to go on. It's nothing. We don't have to beg. We don't have to try to convince Him. We don't have to come up with a persuasive speech. We don't have to make deals. It's, hey, I have a need. No problem, I got this. That's how it should be because He's our friend. Verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another. Now again, another way that it carries out, because we want to bear fruit, because I'm plugged into Christ, and because Christ loves those people, we love them too. If we're plugged into Christ, we love what He loves. Little asterisk since I'm here. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 5 that He loved the church and gave Himself for it. If you hate the church, you don't like what He likes. That's a big deal. Jesus loves the unlovely. If we're plugged into Him, we love the unlovely. Being plugged into Christ is everything. This is the Christian life. The Christian life isn't a series of do's and don'ts. It's not a list of things. It's not a burden that we put on there. It's not a series of duties. It's abiding in Christ. Amen. It's having a real fellowship and a real relationship with a God who loves us so much. And as we're plugged into Him and He's plugged into us, we bear much fruit. We affect so many around us. Because we're plugged into Him, we have answers to prayer, and it's like nothing because we're not trying to convince Him. We're not trying to. It's because He's our friend. We have a need. He says, no problem. I got it taken care of. This changes everything. This is the difference between religion and relationship. We don't have a religion. We have a personal relationship with a real God, and it's real.
Amen.
Yep. And it's real. Praise the Lord. So let me ask you as we go through this, how is your abiding in Christ? How is your friendship with Christ? Can you honestly say that you are close friends with Him? Are you passing acquaintances? Are you strangers? Is He a book report that you read? How close, how intimate are you with Christ? Without me, ye can do nothing. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.